Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
Hey, everybody, once again, we're having fun. Got a great show up ahead. This episode is going to be all off the charts, I tell you. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. I'm real happy with this to bring this guy on. He's been somebody that's really pushed me, even though he doesn't know it. He's the way he spoke, you know, his criticisms weren't destructive. They were always uplifting. And this guy, we met at the Heart of America, and he just inspired me because he was so driven, and I couldn't, at the time I didn't understand what was driving him, but you know, as I've been going through the years and competing and just seeing, you know, not first place all the time, not second place all the time, but just, you know, being there and representing the stage where you can respect yourself, your body, and everybody else there. And that meant a lot to him. And honestly, it transferred over to me just because he was so driven with that. You know, he was going to respect the stage no matter what. He was bringing his best. And now that he's, you know, the years have gone by, he's gone from just being a pro bodybuilder. Now he's got his own show, the Titan Classic. I'm going to bring on Jason Kamen, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and give a little background, and then we'll start talking. So, Jason, introduce yourself, please.
Well, Kalen, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I've been competing. I started competing in bodybuilding in 1995. Competed pretty religiously from 95 to 99. Took a little hiatus. Both my kids were born 2000 and 2003, came back in 2006 and just started rolling from there. I got my pro card, turned pro, took fourth at the NGA Pro Universe 2 years in a row, won the HOA Pro Classic twice, second once. So got a lot of top five finishes in my career. I love the sport. I've been doing it forever. It feels like I've been doing it forever. I'm 45 and still going, you know. So, and then about 5 years ago, started up a show here in Des Moines, Iowa. I wanted to stay involved with the sport. I knew that, you know, there's going to be a day coming sometime where I wasn't going to compete anymore. I don't know when that's going to be, because I mean, until some of these young pups can knock me off the stage, I'm going to keep going. But started the Titan Classic about 5 years ago. This year is our fifth year. It's the Titan Classic's June 27th, the NGA Titan Classic. So it's a super pro qualifier. Just a couple weeks away. So
now you actually started a different format, but before we get that, I'd like to talk about the Heart of America, because that's not an easy show. You know, it literally is almost in the heart of America, almost dead center when you think about for traveling for competitors coming from the East and West, especially the Midwesterners. We love that show because, you know, it's just so easy to get to. And yeah, I tell you, John just runs that show with his heart. So, you know, he can bring the people back a lot like the Chi-Town does, where, you know, you can tell when the promoter really, really loves what he does and has a passion for, you know, just like you do, where you wanted to address the competitors first and then everything else centered around that. So, you know, I'm sure it's not just, you know, you wanting to compete against the best. It's the fact that he's done so much to address the competitors.
Oh, yeah. I competed at that show the first time, I think, I want to say 2010. Was the first time I competed there, and I've been back every single year since. You know, I have a lot of admiration for John Abraham. I think he does a fantastic job. It's always a great show. People are always you know, there and on point and ready to compete, but also, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie there, and it's a lot of the same people, but there's always new faces too. That's a really good show. And that was one of the things that, after I competed there, that was when, the first time that was when I kind of got motivated to try to start promoting my own show here in Des Moines. So, and kind of piggybacks off, it kind of piggybacks off of John's show, and then also piggybacks back into, Jonathan Aiken's show, in October. That's also in Peoria as well. So the three of us kind of try to work together and cross promote and try to get people that, you know, compete at all three.
And it's worked out well, you know, I think that was one of the biggest, drawbacks for, you know, just the southern part of the hemisphere being so strong with natural bodybuilding, is that we didn't have anything to represent us up in this area other than the heart of America. And then basically you guys stepped up, and now, you know, you're getting, like you said, you're getting people that can actually compete at a top level, yeah. But they just didn't have funding to do all that traveling.
Yeah, you know, and actually we're working on something too. I don't know if I really want to let the cat out of the bag, but John and I have been actually talking to a couple other promoters, and we're on the cusp of possibly rolling out next year this kind of tournament style, so to speak, competition, and we're going to call it like the Midwest Championships. It's going to have there's going to be a show, and our goal is to have, you know, John's show in Peoria in May, my show in Des Moines in June. Then we're going to have a show in St. Louis that's tied in with our show, like maybe in August, a show in Minneapolis, possibly in late September, and then back to Peoria in October, and then finish it all off with like this grand championship of all five shows combined in Chicago in November.
Wow.
So we're working on that. We've been talking about it, and you know, trying to get all the pieces put together and see how it will kind of work. But, you know, one of my ideas, one of the things I thought about a long time ago, and I just didn't really know how to make it work, was I always thought about doing, like, you know, some kind of, like, I don't know, not really a stepping stone process, but, you know, get people to qualify for certain things, you know, like, you know,
like
my goal and kind of our, yeah, but kind of like a tournament, like, you know, you go compete at one show, and if you win there, then, you know, then you're automatically, you know, free to get into the next show, so to speak. So us, the five promoters, we're trying to work together to see if we can work out some kind of deal where we can help each other and kind of, and then also, you know, help the competitors to kind of do that. And then we get to the point where maybe we, you know, the show in Chicago, we say, hey, if you've placed in the top three at any of these five other shows, you're automatically invited. And then it's going to be kind of the tournament of champions, that one show. And so you'll be like the champion of champions. So you know, you're going to be on stage with everyone that's won one of these other five shows. And, you know, that show could end up being really big and really popular. I mean, we're working on it and to see how that can have it work out. But, you know, we're trying to come up with ways to make things better for the competitor. You know, it's a, you know,
well,
as
that's
well
one
as
sure way to
compete,
do it.
Yeah. You know, as well as anybody that competes in this, you know, it's not a cheap sport.
No.
You know, it's you know, between entry fees and polygraphs and spray tanning and the food you have to eat and the travel you have to do, especially when you get, you know, when you get on the pro side. You know, I live in Des Moines, and there's not a pro natural show in Iowa. I have to travel everywhere. I mean, there's no such thing as just competing in my backyard. I mean, the one reason I always do John's show is because that's the closest pro show to me. It's 4.5 hours away. You know, it's one of the few ones that I can drive to and not have to fly. So, you know, that stuff all adds up. But, yeah, we're working on that. So we'll keep you posted on that one, Kaylin, and see how that kind of pans out. You'll be one of the first ones to know. We'll roll it out to everybody, let everybody know about it.
I'll be happy to show up at every one of them. I know, when you think about the people that have their hearts in this, I know where your hearts are. So I know it's going to be a good one because it's actually,
yeah,
you guys, get back what you say.
Yeah, we, when, you know, one of the things that we did at the Titan years ago, and we kind of started this threshold, a lot of people were talking about the new show format and kind of doing this and all this talk about it now. And, you know, and not to toot Brian Alstrom's and my horn, but we were actually one of the first shows in the whole entire country to do it. And basically what we do is we do a one show format. And the reason we do that is, you know, when I decided to start promoting the show, I thought to myself, all right, as a competitor, what is the one thing that I hate? And the one thing, the first thing on my list was the all day deal. That was the first thing on my list. I'm like, you know, getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning to go sit in an auditorium for 4 or 5 hours, and then to take a break for 4 or 5 hours, and then to go back again for 4 or 5 more hours. And it's just this whole long day, and it's hard to structure your eating. It's hard to time your meals. It's hard to do all those kind of things. And, you know, and so I thought, man, there's just got to be a different way to do it. And so it took a couple years. We had to tweak it a little bit and mess with it a little bit, but we've got it down. I mean, the last 2 years, I mean, last year we had, you know, and a lot of people would say, well, it's easy with a small show. You know, last year we had, I think, 71 competitors, which isn't a small show. I mean, it's not a huge show, but it's not small.
We started
pre-judging at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were done with the last class. Everyone was out the door and on their way to the after party by 6:45 PM.
I've actually competed at this show, and I know, it's a nice smooth run. And what was good about it is that everybody's family and everybody that was there got to hang out and meet everybody else. And that was unique. I guess that's the best way I can say it, is that, you know, nobody left. Just everybody, like, you know, I think the best part of natural bodybuilding is the camaraderie and the fact that we actually got to speak to each other during the daylight, you know, and hang out. And like you said, at the after party, it's the same thing. And it was just a really good time, especially, you know, traveling, like you said, when you got to travel so far. And people had that time where they didn't have to be rushed. You know, it's not the midnight, 1 in the morning, you know, kind of deal, because I've been to those too. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch everybody just kind of gel and vibe off each other and learn, you know, because we're always in the midst of learning how to improve our body.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think the after party is really cool too, because, you know, a lot of shows have them, which is great. But, you know, I've competed at several shows, and, you know, and I don't go to the after party, because by the time I'm off stage and stuff, it's, you know, it's 10:15 at night, and I'm like, I don't want to go somewhere now. I'm tired, you know. But when you get done at before 7 o'clock and everyone's done, and you say, hey, the after party is going to start at 7 at this location, I mean, like, everybody shows up. I mean, last year at the after party, I bet we had 90% of the competitors show up, and all the judges were there, and then everybody just kind of hung out for about 2 hours, you know, and just ate pizza and hung out, you know, and it was really kind of cool. But yeah, Brian and I really try very hard to make the show. The reason we did that show is do it that way, and we still do it that way, and I'm never going to change it, is because we really try to make the show about the competitor. You know, it's not about selling tickets for us. It's not about making money. I mean, we don't want to lose money. No one ever wants to spend, you know, five months promoting something and then writing a $2,000 check at the end of it. That's not fun for anybody. But, we the other thing we do that, you know, it's kind of funny. The first year we did it was like 2 years ago. And, we let bodybuilders, we give them the option on whether or not they want to do a routine. And we decided to do that just because we thought, you know, I'd heard from a lot of people that, you know, first of all, routines aren't judged. They're for entertainment purposes. They're to entertain the crowd, which is great. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if someone really likes to do that, then more power to you. We let you do it. But, you know, last year we had, I think, 37 bodybuilders, male bodybuilders. And out of the 37 male bodybuilders, I think only 4 did routines. So to me, that screams pretty loud and clear that for the most part, bodybuilders don't want to do routines. They want to get on stage. They want to do the mandatory poses. They want to focus on that. They want to, because that's the competition part. You know, it's not about the show. It's about the competition. And that's why people come. And so, yeah, and that's another thing that speeds up the show drastically, because, you know, if you've got 33 people not doing routines, you know, each routine's a minute to a minute and a half, well, you know, that knocks 45 minutes to an hour off your show just because between walking them on, walking them off stage, all that kind of stuff. So, but like I said, we make it optional. You know, we thought about just saying, we're not going to allow routines, but you know, the reason we didn't do that is, you know, I kind of thought about that a little bit and I thought, you know what, there's a lot of guys out there that really like it and I don't want to take that away from people. And the other thing is too, you know, if you're in a class, let's say you're in a class of 10 people and you know, we call out the top five and maybe your mom and dad weren't there for prejudging or your friends weren't there for prejudging because they couldn't be there, but now they're there and you don't get to go out on stage, you know, then, you know, you don't get to kind of perform. So I've always said, I don't want to take anybody's moment in the sun. And so we've always allowed people to do it because, you know, some, and you know, to be honest, I'm one of those people, I hate doing a routine. I hate it. I'm not, I don't come up with great things, but there's some people I've seen some great routines and, you know, I'm always willing to watch them and if people want to keep doing them. But those are the two things that we kind of do differently at the Titan Classic that make the show go a lot smoother. You know, the cool thing is too, and you've competed in it, hopefully you can attest to this, is even though the show runs very smooth and very quickly, I don't think anyone ever feels rushed. You know, we make sure that we take a lot of time to judge and we give everybody their time on stage because we have a lot more time allotted because of the fact that we're not doing routines. We don't take the 4-hour break and all those kind of things. I think to some extent we probably let people during mandatory poses and things like that, we let people out, be out on stage longer than a lot of shows do.
Yeah. And what, one of the things that I really respected is that it was successful for you. But like you said, you didn't demand, well, no one's going to do a routine. You said it's still going to be about the competitor. If you want to do it, by all means, do it. But you gave the option. And that was just, you know, because most of the time, if they're successful, they say, well, we're going, you know, hella high water. We're going with this way in this format. But your format still left some leeway for the people, like you said, to have that option. And that speaks well of you guys. I mean, that just blew me away because I was so sure that, you know, that was going to be, everybody was going to press you. Well, then nobody should be able to do it, you know. Nobody should be able to do a routine. And that's not how you went. And that just kind of blew me away.
Yeah. We just try to, we try to focus on the competitor because that's ultimately what this is about, is the competitor. I mean, if the people aren't coming to compete, then you don't have a show. So, you know, that's all there is to it.
That's the truth. And with the, I was, you know, the trophies that you brought in, I was really impressed by them because, you know, they were, I don't know if that was Greek or Roman, the year I went, but wow, I mean, it's pretty elaborate detail on those things.
Yeah, we do spend a lot of money on the trophies. We try to, you know, because we call it the Titan Classic, I try almost every trophy I get is somehow related to, you know, Greek gods. You know, we have like Hercules, Samson, Athena, you know, those are the kind of the trophies that we, you know, Aphrodite, you know, Venus, you know, those are the kind of things that we give away. You know, warrior trophies and large Vikings and, you know, stuff like that. So it's more just kind of stay with the theme of the show. And I've also been, you know, I do spend a ton of money on trophies. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it's a big check I write every year, but you know, at the end of the day, that's what you have to remember, you know. And
yeah,
you know, I competed a ton in the late 90s. And the sad thing is I don't have any of my trophies. You know, I never placed worse than third in my whole entire career. I don't have any of my trophies from the 90s because all the trophies back then were those, you know, those bowling trophies that were plastic.
Yes.
And, you know, over the years they broke and they've gotten tarnished and they, you know, they don't look good. So, you know, I'm like, you know, that's a memory, you know, and not that you're trying to show off things, but it's still a memory. I mean, someday, you know, someday.
That's a lot of hard work, you know.
Yeah, it's
a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And someday when you're 65 years old and you got grandkids, you know, and stuff, you can be like, hey, see this? Grandpa won this thing, you know, so.
Yeah. And, you know, the person that didn't do the work and didn't do the sacrifice and didn't have that dedication might see it as an ego, but all you remember is the prep. You know, when I look at the trophies, That's what I remember, the prep. And what, you know, for this one was special because I had to do this. And for this one was special because I had to do that. Every prep is different, and that trophy is a reminder of every prep if you go about it the right way.
Yeah.
And for you to put that kind of labor love into it, well, I'm speaking to you, but I know that you got people that are working with you, so I don't want to leave them out because I know they work very hard, and you guys have put together something that's just it's become special. You know, I just like the fact that you brought it and that you brought the same kind of passion that you do to stage, and it's actually working out because the numbers are growing.
Yeah. I would strongly encourage anyone that, you know, that listens to this, you know, come compete at the Titan Classic, you know, at least one time in your career and just kind of see what it's all about and see kind of what I call it the other side, you know, how it's supposed to go. You know, we work really hard to, you know, make sure that it always runs smoothly. And, you know, and I listen to feedback, you know, I'm constantly getting emails from competitors that have competed there. And I talk to people throughout the whole day, and I'm walking around and making sure that everything's going the way people want it to. And, you know, and the funny thing is I've never heard anyone say, you know, that they don't like that format. Every time anybody competes, you know, as soon as the show's over, my Facebook page gets blasted with people just saying that was the best show I've ever been to. It's just, you know, incredible, you know, and all these kind of great things, which is great because, you know, it's not about trying to make me feel good about that or Brian feel good about that. It just makes us feel good to know that, you know, we thought of something. We're like, hey, we think this will work, and then people are liking it. And, you know, because mm-hmm. that's really what it's about, because, you know, the people that compete in this sport and really compete in this sport, it's a ton of hard work. And, you know, they know that. And you should be celebrated for what you've done, you know, and what you've accomplished. And, you know, just getting on stage, it doesn't matter. You know, at that point, you know, whether you get first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or don't even place, it doesn't even matter. If you put your body, you know, in the position that it could be in the best possible condition you can be in as a person, then you've already won. And that takes a lot of time and effort. And it's, you know, it's not something you can just do in 3 days. You know, I know people that prep for 26 weeks to compete. I mean, I think that's crazy, but I've never personally prepped for more than about 14, but I also try to keep myself in pretty good shape throughout the whole entire
year. You're one of those year round guys. So,
So I just kind of eat good all the time, but it takes a long time and a lot of effort. So it's important to kind of celebrate those things, but hopefully, you know, people listen to this, you know, some, you know, probably not this year because it might be too late. It shows in 2 weeks, but, you know, we have it at about the end of June every single year. And, you know, next year could be even bigger with more of a tie-in with a kind of a tournament style showcase. So, you know, we'll see.
I like that idea. I really like that idea. That'll be a good one. That'll go well. But Jason, you're talking about the bodies, and you know, there's something that, you know, because we're getting the different classes now, because I remember it used to be just bodybuilding, male side, bodybuilding, female side, and now that we've got the different breakup of classes, there's something that I've seen, and it's kind of, you know, it kind of threw up, I don't want to say a red flag, but just something that just, you start to notice. It's like, well, like you said, it's a lot of work to get to stage. And some people are taught wrong, you know, that they basically, their metabolism gets wrecked, and they, you know, they actually come in underweight sometimes, and you'd almost think they, like some, honestly, some bodybuilders, well, some people that compete in bodybuilding, which seem, you know, like now that we have the different classes and in categories, that you would think it would be better for a physique their first time out, or sometimes, you know, women that are stepping on stage and as figure would be a better fit in bikini. And, you know, being a competitor for the years you've done it, you know, you can almost start to distinguish. It's not ripping on what they've done or the work they put in. It's just more to the point of where they are right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that myself. You know, I've written about it a couple of times. I write a blog and I've written about it a couple of times. And, you know, a concern I have about the sport is kind of a direction it seems to be heading in. And, And that seems it seems to be kind of turning into some a diet competition, so to speak. And physical conditioning is a big part of the sport, as being a natural athlete, but it's just a part of it. And I think the problem that we're having is, it started down the path. You can kind of see it, how it kind of graduated to where we are today. 3, 4, 5 years ago, people were getting physically fit, looking really hard, all those kind of things, and looking not like a normal person walking down the street. And then all of a sudden it kind of just kind of kept gravitating. And now it's, I've had several conversations with tons of bodybuilders, and it seems like now it's like, if you don't have shredded glutes on stage as a bodybuilder, you're not going to win. And to some extent, that's just, we need to kind of look at that and take a step back, because, that it's going to just keep getting worse. And like you said, people are going to be pushing themselves to a point, where actually this is a sport that celebrates health.
Yes.
And it celebrates fitness. And one of my concerns is that it's going to turn into a sport that starts wrecking people, and people start doing things in order to get leaner than that, because they look at pictures of people and are like, well, that guy won, and a lot of that responsibility is on the judges. Judges need to, I've always said physical conditioning is a huge, it's a big part of the side of the, especially for bodybuilding. But I'm also saying in the same sentence that if you're a bodybuilder in that class, then you need to be physically conditioned, but you also need to look the part. So, being just skinny is not what bodybuilding is about. That's not what it's about. That's physique. I mean, physique, you look at physique and you look at physique and you look at a guy standing on stage in board shorts, and that's why he's in board shorts, because to me, it's like, it's a dude that would be walking down the beach and be like, hey man, that guy looks really good. You can tell that he works out. He lifts weights.
Mm-hmm.
Bodybuilding is not that. That is not that. And bodybuilding is not about that. And bodybuilding is a completely different format. It's not about being just a guy that looks good in board shorts. And I'm not taking anything away from physique. Physique is its own category. There's some great guys that compete in physique, but that's the other thing too, is I think over time we've started to get this kind of crossover mix up, and like you said, when the sport started, it was men's bodybuilding and women's bodybuilding. And you had to kind of really dedicate yourself and push yourself to limits in order to compete. And over time, the natural organizations, they have developed these other classes, bikini and figure and physique for women, physique for men, and fitness and misfit and, all those kind of things that they've tried here and there. The reason the sanctions have done that stuff is not so that someone can show up at a show and enter physique and bodybuilding and figure and win them all. That's not why that was done. That was done because there are a lot of people out there. There are, people come in all shapes and sizes. They're all forms and walks of life. And you know that.
I agree.
And the reason that these classes were created additionally was to get more people involved in the sport, give more people an opportunity to compete in this great sport that promotes health and fitness, but they don't have to necessarily, everyone doesn't have to look like this. You don't have to look like this particular person, this bodybuilder, in order to compete. You can look like this, a figure woman. You can look like this, a bikini woman. You can look like this, a physique, or physique male or woman. And it allows more people to become part of this sport and become part of this family. And I think that's, like at my show, and maybe, I know that I'm in the minority. And one of the reasons I'm in the minority with my show is because, again, it's not about the money for me, but I don't allow crossovers. I had a competitor just the other day, enter physique, and he wanted to enter bodybuilding at the same time. And I told him he couldn't do it. And he's like, why? And I'm like, 'cause it's two different things. You know, I said that you need to be one or the other. And, you know, and some people might start in physique, graduate to bodybuilding, and that's fine. I'm not saying you can't do that. Just like a girl might start in bikini and then eventually move into figure after a couple years of lifting harder, you know, gets a lot more muscular, a lot more tone. And then maybe after a couple more years, all of a sudden now her figure body's more of a physique body. So then she moves into physique, and that's perfectly fine. That's part of the sport. And that's kind of the reason that there are those levels there for the female competitor. And it's kind of that way for physique too. Physique, you know, in men is kind of that then, and then you step up to the bodybuilding, or, you know, as you get bigger and stronger and all those kind of things. And so that's great. And that's what the sport is all about. But to me, you should never have a person that comes to a show and competes in women's physique, figure, and bikini, all three, because they're all three completely different body types, and you shouldn't
should be
competing in all three. Yeah, they should be.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think, you know, those are a couple things about the sport. I've been in it, like I said, I've been in it a long, long time. I've probably I maybe have competed 40 times in my life. And I've seen a lot. I've been to a lot of shows that are ran terrible. I've been to a lot of shows that are ran fantastically. But part of it is, I think, you know, they just need to, promoters need to take a little bit of that on themselves. Judges need to take a little bit of that on themselves and start really looking at these situations and trying to decide, you know, I guess take their role in the sport and trying to make sure that it's not heading down a path where we don't want it to go.
Hold on, Jason, because I want to say something, because I don't want people thinking that you're just saying something just because this is something that just happened. We have spoken many years in the past, and the conversation hasn't changed. It's been the same with you and very consistent, because, you know, like you said, it when we were talking, you said it took years for you to earn that pro card, and then it took years for you to earn a win. So this is not like you're an impatient person and you know you have to win now and then somebody's getting in your way. You're one of the most patient people I've met. So, you know, this what you're saying is well grounded and founded. You're basically looking at it in the long run, you know, that big picture kind of speak. And I hope everyone that's listening understands that, because, you know, this is a labor of love for you.
Oh yeah, bodybuilding has, you know, really changed my life. I mean, you know, I kind of got into it just on accident. You know, I was working out of the gym, didn't really know what, just didn't have any direction. And the guy's like, oh, you should compete. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And then finally, that was in 1995, he talked me into it. And, you know, of course, my first show, I didn't know what I was doing, just like everybody when they had to compete the first time. And back in 95, you know, there weren't trainers all over the place like there are now. And I mean, I wrote my own diet. I did my own workouts, you know, and all those kind of stuff. But, you know, I took third place in the very first time I ever competed, and it just bit me. And I really do have a passion for the sport. I love the sport. And I think the natural side, and this is something I've said for years, if it would get really organized and really work together on all levels through all sanctions, natural bodybuilding could be so much bigger than the NPC ever dreams of being. And I don't know if it'll ever see that day, because there's a lot of hands in the pot and there's a lot of people that want to make the decisions. But there are so many more people in this country can go to a natural bodybuilding show, see someone like me standing on stage at 45 years old. I mean, I'm 45 years old. I've been competing for almost 20 years, over 20 years. And I still step on stage at like 198. So I mean, you know, I'm not walking on stage at 270 pounds, and, you know, and people can see someone like me and be like, you know what? I can do that. I can do that, you know? Whereas the NPC is just, it's, you know, and I'm not dogging people out. People have every right to do whatever they want to do and take whatever they want to take. And, but you know, there are so many more people that compete in natural bodybuilding or not just natural athletics period.
Yeah.
And I always say bodybuilding, but I mean figure, bikini, I mean everything.
Yeah.
And it could, the sport could be so big. And I just think that there's, you know, perils to that. And, you know, and that's the whole purpose of the conversation was, you know, there's just trends that, you know, that I've noticed over the years. Like, you know, I look back at pictures of, you know, not only myself, but just of shows I've done, you know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago. And I look at like how I looked on stage compared to how other people looked on stage. And I look at pictures of like where I competed last year, and I look at how everybody looks on stage. And part of it is just, you know, over time people learn different ways to get a little more physically fit. But I will tell you, hands down, without a doubt, when I look at these pictures, people are way skinnier. You know, there are people on stage that are so much leaner and so much skinnier than they used to be 8 years ago. And I'm not even saying that they look better, you know, cause, and it's, you know, that's just a concern of mine. Like I said, that it's, I want to see the sport grow. I do everything I can to help the sport grow as far as my little world's concerned in Des Moines, Iowa. But it's just, there's things that, I just want things to be better. And, you know, I worry at times, like, you know, you and I've talked about this several times. I just worry at times that, you know, the sport's starting to gravitate towards a certain direction. And, you know, the last thing I ever want to see happen is, you know, people develop eating disorders and things like that because they're trying to compete. And that's just, you know, that's not a good thing.
Well, you know, I said, we're dysmorphic by nature when you think about it and how we go about our lives. And, you know, I've seen people on the good side of dysmorphia and on the incredibly bad side of dysmorphia where they're just incredibly out of shape and saying, oh, I look like the best thing in life. And it just amazes me. But I was thinking it's no different than how we think. We're just on the flip side of that coin. But there was something that I would hear from the competitors that, you know, had been doing bodybuilding and wanted to change of pace and went and competed in men's physique. And they were said, you know, they were told you're too big. And I was thinking, well, then, yeah, okay, if that's the criteria, then I can understand why they say that. But now, when do you tell a bodybuilder they're too small?
Right. Yeah.
Because if we're going to start doing criteria in that way, then doesn't bodybuilding have to have a certain look as well?
Yeah. Well, I would agree. I've always said you need to look the part. You got to look the part.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, if we're saying that everybody's got a different body type, then it's not a knock on somebody to tell them that, you know, maybe your body's not one for bodybuilding. Or just like you're telling a bodybuilder, they're not one for physique.
Right.
I think that with... Because we're the natural organizations, I think sometimes we're overthinking something that's pretty simple. Because if a bodybuilder has a certain size and he can lean down to be fit bodybuilding size, that's one thing. But the dieting down to make the criteria that basically have them super skinny, and I hope people understand when we're talking about skinny. We're not saying undernourished and starving, but just for what would be considered a natural bodybuilder.
Right.
We're talking about that, where it's just something's missing, where it should be a more fullness in the muscle. It shouldn't be an undersized muscle because they went more for the cardio hour instead of the gains that would make that muscle develop.
Yeah, I think part of the fear in that, to tell you the truth, is because it's a natural sport, and this is just I'm thinking out loud, is, you know, I think a lot of times we're hesitant as an organization or as judges or stuff like that to tell people that they're not big enough, so to speak, in quotes, because then the fight back to that is, well, this is natural bodybuilding. You know, what do you want me to go get on some stuff, you know, and get bigger? So I think
that's what I was saying about the different categories. You know, if it's a different body type, there's plenty of things that I wanted to do in bed, you know, in life. You know, I wanted to be 7 foot so I could play in the NBA. But I mean, I get what people are saying. You got that goal, get it. But get it in the right way, and I think that's what you're saying. You know, if you're going to be a bodybuilder, then look the part. I don't think that's a slam on anybody and saying you got to step your game up.
Yeah, and don't be, and you know, that's the thing too, is I've noticed there's a ton of younger, a lot younger people in the sport, which is great, which is fantastic. But you know, there's also something that comes with muscle maturity and muscle fullness, and
Yes.
you know,
Yes,
and
indeed.
sometimes it just takes time to really get your body where it needs to be to be the best competitor you can be. So you need to understand that, and you know, don't, and a lot of times I think you see a lot of these younger guys, you know, their answer, because they don't have the muscle fullness, the muscle maturity, their answer is just to get as lean as they possibly can. And again, like I said, I'm not, hey, I get lean when I get on stage. I get as lean as I can, and you know, and I know physical conditioning is important, and I'm not knocking that at all. I'm not bitter about it. I mean, I've won enough shows. You know, and I've done very well in my career. So, you know, and I also understand that, you know, bodybuilding is a very subjective sport. You know,
Yes, it is.
you can never get upset about how you finish or anything like that, because you know, you stand in front of a judge, you get second, you know, they get five other judges, you get first, they get five other judges, maybe you get fifth. I mean, who the heck knows? You know, it's what people see, and it's what people ultimately, when you're getting judged, it's that person's opinion. And so, you know, that's just the way it goes. But my thought process on that is, you know, just you don't want to get to self, you don't want to get to the point where physical conditioning is important. But I've seen a lot of people that get themselves, they're so focused on, like you said, on the physical conditioning side of it, that they're losing things that are important, and
Yes, and health-wise,
in the
it's not
sport.
safe.
Yeah, it's not safe. So yeah, that's ultimately my concern is I don't want to see that to really get to that point, because I've seen girls at shows pass out backstage. I've
Yes.
seen people do things because they haven't eaten for 2 days. You know, I've
That's
you know,
right.
and it's just and that is a product. I mean, a lot of people would sit there and say, oh, well, they've got a bad trainer. Well, you know what? They do have a bad trainer. I would agree with that. But that's also a product of where the sport is going. Because
Well, that's the look
people are
they've got to
going to
do.
shows, they're seeing people winning these shows that are just so lean, and so they're like, well, I just got to get lean, I got to get lean, I got to get skinnier, I got to, you know, if I don't have to eat, the only way I can get skinnier is to not eat for 2 days. And you know, and then that's when it's starting to get dangerous.
Yes, and it's really frightening. And like you said, if we're thinking long term, big picture, then this is something that's going to have to be addressed. Because why have the categories if all you got to do is one size fits all?
Exactly. Yep.
I'm you when I saw you when you made that post, it really hit me because I was like, you know. He's on to something because this is something that you do hear backstage and you do see. And some of the things, like you said, with the bad trainers and everything, you're still talking about somebody's health and somebody's life. And you know, you can't overlook that. That's a big issue. If somebody, you know, saying you offer them water and you think you were trying to put acid down their throat, you know, it's like, well,
Yeah.
yeah, what happened? You
Yeah.
know, I get one
Yeah.
ice cube. What?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, where did this, how did it go? And before it gets to the point where it is an issue, where instead of having one person at a show, there's maybe five. You're thinking that's five lives. You're thinking who those five lives affect and who those people touched on and how many families are involved in all that. That's,
Yeah.
you know, that's not a small thing, you know, and I'm glad you spoke on that because it does mean if we don't speak about it, how does it change?
Well, exactly. And you know, not only you have health issues, potential health issues too, but you also are risking on top of that, which is of lesser importance, obviously, but you're also risking on top of that the popularity of the sport. Because
Yes.
if things keep gravitating the way I feel like they're trending, the way it seems like they're trending, then you know, you're going to get to a point where people are like, well, I don't want to compete in that because, man, you got to starve yourself to compete, and I'm not willing to do that. And that's so far from the truth, you know, and so then, you know, you could end up on a whole nother platform where not only you're dealing with people's potential health issues and stuff like that, but you could even end up with, this is obviously grand and it's not going to happen tomorrow, but you could end up with, you know, the sport actually starting to die off because younger people are not going to get into it because they see what you have to look like in order to win, because you have to be this super skinny person. And they're just like, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to put my health at risk to try to go win a trophy. And, you know, yeah. Granted, that's pretty grandiose, and I understand that. And but those are the kind of things that I think of, and I look at this stuff, and, you know, I don't just look at someone and be like, oh man, that person shouldn't have won. You know, I look at it more of it as a trend, you know, because to me, it's not been, oh, I've seen this once. I've seen this a bunch. And like I said, over the years, I've looked back on other pictures, and I've noticed that through the years, it's just gravitating every single year more and more and more. And like I said, I'm concerned about the sport, and I'm concerned about where it's headed. And, you know, part of me, I'm a little glad that I'm 45 years old, and, you know, I probably don't have a lot of years left. So, you know, I won't have to keep trying to get skinnier and skinnier, but, you know, it's not really a personal thing of mine. It's more of a sport wide thing, you know, cause I've been in this thing for so long. I've met so many great people. I have so many great friends that, you know, that I've met. I mean, you're one of them. I mean, you know, if I never would have competed in my life, I never would have met you. And there's so many people like that in my life that I know today that have influenced my life because of this sport and how many times I've competed and how many great people I've met. So it's just, I just want to see the sport grow. I want to see it flourish. I want to see people stay healthy. And I'd like us to, you know, I know it's a difficult job to judge. I've done it before myself, and it's not an easy thing to do. And sometimes classes are so tight and the competitors are really hard to tell people apart. And so it is, being a judge is a thankless job, and in no way, shape or form am I coming down on judging. It's more of a just.
Like I said, this is big picture down the road.
Yeah, big picture stuff. This is stuff that I've noticed in the past, and it seems like over the years it's just gotten a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and there's just a part of me that's a little concerned about where it's going.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to speak to you about it, because it's a valid point. What you're saying is very valid, because like you said, we should have to hear that one guy or that one woman backstage making that, where it makes you cringe, making that statement that you cringe and like, no, let me help you out here, you know. And I've seen you step in and say that, you know, as you, hey, no, whoever that is, fire them, because they robbed you blind, and, you know, your health is at risk. And it's like they need that wake-up call. It's a hard hit, but they need to hear it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
It's tough. It's really tough. But I'm glad you were willing to speak about it. It really, you know, there's a plus side of everything, but then there's a side where, you know, okay, are we going too far? And if that question's not asked, then most of the time we do go too far, because nobody's ever trying to slow the speed and train. You know, you think about I'm not making light of the Amtrak, but, you know, when there's a turn coming, you know, sometimes we got to slow down and take a look. You can't be running full speed, you know. We got to see it for what it is.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, hopefully people will just, you know, start kind of looking at it every now and then. I mean, nothing's going to change tomorrow, and I understand that. But, you know, and like I said, I don't even think we're at a point where the sport's in jeopardy or in people.
No.
You know, it's just going to get, you know, I just don't want it to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And that's the beauty of the sport is, you know, with all the categories and stuff, it brings so many more people in and things. And I want people, you know, the younger people out there that are, you know, they're in their early 20s and stuff like that, that are, you know, that go to these shows and watch this stuff and think, man, maybe I want to do that someday. You know, I want them to be encouraged by what the opportunities are, and not so much about thinking about, well, geez, I'm going to have to get so lean, and so I'm going to have to starve myself, you know. And then they talk to someone that says, well, I haven't drank any water for 2 days. And they're like, oh man, I can do that kind of stuff, you know? And all of that, you know, the thing is, all of that is in, is all of that is part of one, not only, you know, like I said earlier about bad trainers, there are, everyone knows there's plenty of those out there, but all of it is still too, it's a lot of the responsibility of the competitor themselves. And the reason that a lot of people do it, even though, you know, the trainer's telling them this stuff, and there's probably a little voice in the back of their head that is like, man, I don't know, that doesn't really sound quite right. And should I really do that? That doesn't sound the best. But at the same time, they're like, but I got to get leaner. I got to get leaner, because that's just, you know, what they've seen and what they think they have to get to. So they do it anyway. And, you know, like I said, physical conditioning is important. I would never sit here and say it's not. It's, you know, on the bodybuilding side, it's 33% of your score. So that's a third of your score as a bodybuilder is your physical conditioning. So it is a big part of it, but it just, it feels to me like that, the physique, all those kind of things, they've all been, and it's across the board. I don't just think it's in bodybuilding. I mean, I've seen bikini girls on stage that are, that, you know, don't have that look that I would look for as a judge, where I'm, you know, I look at a bikini girl and I'm like, is this a girl that was walking, when walking down the beach, would she turn my head?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the look. And then there's other girls on stage, they're you can see, you know, you can see their ribs and stuff, and you're just like, man, they're so skinny. And, you know, and then on top of that, then the problem is not only you get those people that are doing that, but then they place, you know, well, maybe they don't win, but maybe they get second or third. And so then that just encourages them to keep going. And that's where I think judges have to do a little better job of making sure. And sometimes maybe you don't have a choice. Maybe there's only five people on stage, and she, even though she's skinny, she looks better than the other two, and that's great. But you know what? Take the time as a judge to fill out that scorecard. Make a comment to that person and be like, hey, third, you did great, but you know what? You're actually too lean. You know, make comments so that people understand what they're doing and they don't keep trying to go further and further and further. And that's my concern.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like I said, with the dysmorphia in our heads already, it's not a stretch. I mean, like, if some people might think it sounds far-fetched, but with the right mind, with the right wrong mind, I guess that's the way to say it, it could happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jason, I really appreciate this. You know, go ahead and... you got a show coming up. Give all that information out again, because the show's almost over. It seems like we just started talking, and here we go. It's almost time to go. But just let everybody know about that show, because I really like the way that you guys have done it. I really love the spots you guys picked. It's space for days. The sound is good, so you don't have to worry about the music. You really put your heart into it, and it shows.
Yeah, the show's, again, it's called the Titan Classic. It's you can find it on the website. It's www.nga, so Nancy Goat Apple Titan Classic, June 27th this year. It's always late June every single year. As I said before, it's a semi-pro qualifier, so, you know, bikini, physique, figure, bodybuilding, master's classes, everything. As long as there's at least five people in the class, you win the class, you get your pro card. So, and that's what everybody's striving for. So, you know, and then like next year, I said before, there's possibility next year, we're going to turn it into some kind of this tournament type thing where for the Midwest, it could be really big. I mean, cause you know, one of the things is there's just not quite enough places to compete in the Midwest. And so me and about four other guys are seeing if we can maybe change that a little bit, but you know, you can find me on Facebook. Anybody out there, I friend all competitors. I talk to people. I Lord knows I don't know everything, but I've been doing this a really long time, and I always like to get to know. It's Jason Kyman. It's K-A-I-M-A-N. I'm one of two Jason Kymans in the whole entire world, so I'm pretty easy to find. Hopefully, you know, coming to compete. If not this year, hopefully next year, and then. If you ever need I write a blog for HMB, hmb.org. That's one of my sponsors. I write a blog for them every month, so you can always catch up with me there too. But Kalen, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time and everything you do for natural natural bodybuilding and figure and bikini is unsurpassed by most people, and anybody that knows you knows that. You know what your contribution to the sport has been unsurpassed. So I appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate those words. I mean, I'm humbled, but this is really like you say, it's about you. And I know where your heart is. I know where Abraham's heart is. I know where Aggie's heart is. You guys, you're not playing around. The competitors matter. And that's what we needed, because like you said, we started in this, and you got horror stories from shows, I got horror stories from shows, and I hope to God nobody else ever has come after us reliving the horror stories that we had to see, you know, and it's just frightening. I'm just so thankful that you guys, you know, just didn't say somebody needs to do better. You guys stepped in and said, I'll do better. Because that's exactly what happened. I mean, and then, you know, the bad people had to go away, you know, because the sport couldn't grow. With people like yeah. that in the way of, there's no way it can grow, because it was just so filthy and so dirty that, you know, it's like, well, then what are we working with if we have this as, I wouldn't even call it bodybuilding. I would almost call it a joke for a minute, some of those shows, until I got to see the better promoters, the better venues, the better competition, where it was an actual competition and not just basically hand-picked because, you know, like I said, it was just a lot of mess. That's going away. And now we got guys like you and women that are stepping in and saying, you know, we should be in a better spot, which is true.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Kaylin. Yeah, thanks a lot for taking the time tonight, and feel free to call me anytime. I'm always happy to talk about it.
All right, well, I sure will. Well, Jason, you know I'll be out there. The Midwest Muscle is coming out there to represent for the Titans, because like I said, I'm not going to speak well of the show if I go out there to cover it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be good. We always love to have you.
Yeah, and you know the Fist family, so it's always good to see you guys, and we always bump into each other at the different venues and shows, but I never feel like we get enough time to actually, you know, sit down and chat for as long as we'd like to. But I really enjoy this, and I really appreciate, you know, you speaking out, because as a promoter, you'll be heard a lot more than just somebody that didn't get first place, you know. It's like, well, it sounds more like belly aching when you got the other guy saying, well, you know, something's not right. But as a promoter, you see it, you say, well, something isn't right. You know, it's like, it's not like you're backing anybody up. You're just saying, in the long run, where are we going with this? You know, are we downsizing the bodybuilder, or are we, you know, upsizing the physique competitor? Or are we just, like I say, do one size fits all, and basically one person can win everything?
Right.
So if you want to give a shout-out to anybody and let everybody know where you're going and what you got in mind, or just anything, because we got about another – that's you.
Well, Brian Allstrom is my partner. A lot of people know who Brian is. He's a fantastic trainer at Team Allstrom Fitness Consulting. Personally, I'm looking at possibly competing a couple more times this year, maybe. My challenge is, I'm looking at a show in the fall, but my challenge is, I also coach football, coach seventh grade football, so it'll be hard to get a free, it's hard for me to compete in the fall because of the football schedule, and then also I've got kind of a big deal going on in my life in this fall too. I don't know, some people might think it's not a big deal, but I'm getting married, so that's kind of a big deal.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal. Getting married. Yeah, met a wonderful woman. She's changed my life, which I never thought would. You know, you're 45 years old. You're kind of set in your ways, and you think, oh, you know, my life's never going to get much better than this. And lo and behold, it did. So I'm very thankful for that. And
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. We're very excited and getting married in November, and then got football going on this fall. So. Hopefully, I'm going to try to compete, but we'll just see how timing goes, the schedule, because I kind of got a few things on my plate, but we'll see what happens. But if nothing else, I'm sure I'll be back at the HOA next year, because I always say to myself, yeah, you know, maybe I've done that 5 years, maybe that's enough, but then every spring when it rolls around, I'm like, yeah, I'm going. So,
right. Yeah, well, so, yeah, that's something. And I like what you said about the people being able to actually watch natural bodybuilding grow, because, you know, it's real people. I mean, just what you said right now is real person talk. You know, it's not going out and doing crazy stuff. You got a life, you know, and it's still about giving back, because I think that's why this measure does work so well, is that it is a bunch of people that really wanted to improve in a healthy way. And usually, well, not usually, the only way that happens is if you basically live in a healthy life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know any, there aren't any really any natural competitors that I'm aware of that don't normal jobs and all that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, you can't make a living as a natural bodybuilder, you know. I mean, the most I've ever won winning a show was like $1,500, and that's not going to pay any bills. So, you know, you you got to have a job, and, you know, I do have a life. You know, I'm getting married, and, you know, I have two kids of my own, and Terry has four. So, you know, we're going to be melding a family of six kids and all teenagers. So, you know, I've got a full life, and, you know, but I still find time to go to the gym every day. I still find, I still make sure that I eat healthy and stuff, because that stuff's important to me, and, you know, and my kids too, you know, they kind of live by it, and which to me, that's been a real plus for me in my life, because not only just competing and meeting all the people I've met, you know, living this life has really kind of transformed who I am, and as far as what I feel is important and my priorities, and it's turned me into a different person than what I think I would have been if I wouldn't have gotten into this. You know, I mean, you know, I don't drink. I don't, you know, I don't do any of that kind of stuff anymore in my life, just because it's just not important to me. And you know, and my kids are starting to live that life, and I know in the long run it'll be good for them. They'll be healthier people, you know. And so it's, you know, I'm proud of who I am and who I've become, and what this sport has done for me, and where it's taken me, and the life journey. And, you know, and even when I stop competing, I'll still have lessons that I've taken from it forever. And,
yes.
So yeah, it's a cool deal. And, you know, but like I said, you know, and, you know, everybody is a pretty normal person. I'm just a normal person. I mean, most time you see me walking down the street, you know, I run a mortgage company, and, you know, when I'm walking down the street, people, like, if I said to you, I'm a natural bodybuilder, people would be like, what, really? So,
yeah. Right.
You know? Yeah.
And I think it makes a difference when they can see that you can be approached and be a person. He'll be that person on stage that's more than just that person that they see. And I just love that. You know, as I said, I think Ryan Doris said it best when he said, you know, we're like the Clark Kent Superman all in one, because you can be that person on stage, but when you come off, it's like you got to get back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Kalen. I really appreciate it, man. Talking to you is always a pleasure. You're one of, like I said before, you're one of my favorite people. You have a good outlook on life, and, you know, you're very positive. Yeah, I would strongly recommend to people out there listening that if you don't know Kalen Patterson, get to know him. Your life will be better for it. But other than that, man, that's about it.
Well, thanks a lot, Jason. We're going to end it on that. I mean, Jason Gavin, you're the real deal, man. Kalen Patterson, P2P Real Talk. Just thanks so much, guys, for listening, and I hope you had a blessed time. Thanks again, Jason. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thanks, Kalen. You bet.